We'll finish up the book of Judges today. Got my glasses. Left my Bibles home. Yeah, now then left my glasses. We're going to finish up the book of Judges, and we're going to be, I talked with Brother Eddie, and I said, boy, what a weird ending. Hey, you look at what goes on here, and it's just crazy. You know, these last couple of chapters. And I heard something this week, and it was crazy too. See all kinds of stuff that men think that they can do or trying to do, and it's from here on out, you can just about figure computers is going to about run everything. And they're taking over everything. I remember about years ago, they had a guy that for Coca-Cola commercials, Max Headroom, I'm sure y'all might remember some of that stuff. And he actually was almost like a star, even though he don't exist. You know what I mean? He was an icon, but he didn't even exist. He wasn't a real person. And in this past week, I heard some things. I just some food for thought here, and it really just made Revelations come to life. The book of Revelations come to life. We're over it talks about how the beast, you know, came and. He caused that image of the beast to come alive. And some of the things I heard this past week and that they're working on, how many of us know what AI is? There's a lot of people. I remember I was talking to somebody yesterday. They told me with their company that they had people that they were signing to work with this thing of AI or artificial intelligence. There is something that's going even further now, and this is what people are saying that's working on this. They say it's not a matter, and it really made me think of over there in the book of Genesis when God came down and confounded the speech of the people. He said, nothing shall be restrained them. All that they imagine that they'll do. And these people were talking, and they said, it's not if, he said, it's when. A matter of time. They feel like there'll be a time that they will be able to take, and God forbid this happen, they'll be able to put on you, take Brother Jim for example, and download all of his memories, his thoughts, his behaviors, his actions, and download it into circuitry and then put it someplace else. You see, I don't believe it. I don't know if I believe it's possible or not. All I know is what God said. Nothing shall be restrained them. I think there's enough God in men that God, without his restraint, men will do a lot of things that are unbelievable. Whoever thought that we'd be where we're at today as far as computers and stuff. Come on. When I was a kid, I didn't even know what a computer was. That's something you saw on Star Trek. Now about everybody in this room's carrying one. And they got more information in the average cell phone than they had in all the computer systems that they quote NASA had when they quote sent men to the moon. I mean, it's just, hey, you just talk to them. They'll talk back to you.
All you got to do is ask.
Huh? Just talk to them. They'll talk back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who thought we'd be seeing stuff like that? They say that their chips, that they've got chips out there that are so sophisticated, they don't even understand how they work. They just know that they do. Satan knows a lot of stuff. He's teaching this world a lot of stuff. And God's letting him up to a point. How far this thing will go, I don't know. I mean, in thinking about these things and what they believe, this world believes that one day that they will be their own gods and they will have immortality, and it's just a matter of time before they get that's what they believe. No wonder God said, man, he got to destroy this mess. Could you imagine? Could you imagine what mankind would be like with? Could you imagine how bad it would be if God had allowed them to eat of the tree of life? Could you imagine how bad you would be after a 1,000 years or 2,000 years? How wicked and depraved. We don't get better as we get older. We might learn a few things. The only thing that gives man wisdom is God. But you take man, let him just go in his depravity and his depraved nature. I can't imagine what this world would be like if God in his mercy hadn't. I think it was mercy that kept him from that tree of life in that depraved condition. In the book of Judges, we're going to begin reading. I'm not going to read that. But we find in 17 we find a man by the name of Micah, and how he had stolen his mama's money, and then he took in later. He said, "Mom, I took your money," and she said, "Well, blessed art thou, son." And he said, "I tell you what," he said, "I totally devoted that to Jehovah." That money to make an idol. What it says an image and an idol to make a god. But I totally devoted that to Jehovah that you can make that. She gave to the foundry so much of that money, and they took it and they made an image out of it and an ephod, and then Mike ends up hiring a priest. First, he made his son a priest, whose son was not of the priesthood. Look how crazy they are. See what I'm saying? To Jehovah, they made an image and an idol, and that's one thing that God had demanded they don't do. And right to her, but she dedicated this money, she said, to Jehovah, to make an image and an idol. Well, and then they set up a place to worship. Where were they supposed to worship? At that time, it was Bethel, because that's where the house of God was at Bethel. They were supposed to go up to Bethel to worship. But, you know, hey, don't it make sense? I just have it right here in my house, you know. I can just worship right here in my house. And I set up an image and an ephod. And he finally hires a priest, a Levite, and hires him to a priest. And then a little bit later, you find these Danites, they come through, and one of them heard this guy speaking. He recognized his voice, went there, and he said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, I've been hired as this fellow to be a priest in this house." He said, "He's got an ephod and an image in here, and I'm his priest." They said, "Okay." He said, "Well, we're going up so-and-so and inquiring the Lord for us," and he did. And he went up there, and they found out the people were living lazily. They were living at ease, and they didn't realize that they were getting ready to be invaded. And so they go back and tell them, it's okay, we can take these guys, you know, they're laying at ease. They don't have no contact with nobody on the outside. And said, so we can just go in and take him over. Nobody even know anything about it. We'll destroy them, take their land. And so a little bit later, 300 of soldiers, Danites, of the tribe of Dan come up, and they tell him, you know, in this house over here, he said, there's an ephod, and there's a god, and there's a Levite in here. And they said, really? Okay, so they went and got him and said, inquire of the Lord for us. And he did. He said, yeah, go up. He said, you want to, you know, God's going to give it to you. And the next thing you know, and he said, well, you come on, you can be our priest. And so he leaves and goes with them, you know. And the guy comes back and says, now listen to his words now. This is a priest of Jehovah God. A man who's supposed to teach the people the law. And he's serving an image in the name of God. And now he's got the tribe of Dan following this image as well. And Micah comes back and says, where's my priest? Where's my God? And he takes off after him, you know, and he catches up with him. They said, what's the matter with you? Why are you bringing all these people chasing after us? He said, look, you stole my gods. You took my gods. You took my gods and you took my priest. Is that not crazy? Does that not sound crazy? These are believers. These are people that knows Jehovah God. This woman said she had dedicated this money to make an image under dedicated unto Jehovah. Crazy. Then it gets even crazier. You ever think, can it get any crazier? Can this world get any crazier? Can the church get any crazier than the things that's going on in our churches today? Can it get any crazier? Can it get any more bizarre? You listen to what's coming up after all that nonsense is going on. In those days, chapter 18, those days there was no king in Israel. In those days, the tribe of the Danites sought them inheritance. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong place. Anyway, I've already told that story. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Chapter 19, I'm sorry. And it came to pass in those days again, there was no king in Israel. Well, there was a king in Israel. What was his name?
God.
Yeah, Jehovah God.
Yeah, Jehovah God.
I am that I am. And there is no other. And me only shalt thou serve. And he told them how to serve him. There was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Ephraim who took him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And his concubine played the whore against him and went away from him into her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having his servant with him, a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house. When the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. Now look. This is the law. They're under the law. He had his concubine, his wife, his concubine. She played the whore. Know where she was going? She was laying with other men. What was supposed to happen to her?
Stoning.
Yeah, he was supposed to stone her to death. And his hand was supposed to be first upon her. But he went down to talk friendly to her to bring her back. Now, I'm all for grace. But there ain't nothing that you're going to see in here that shows that they're in any way listening to what God has told them to do. And so it ain't no wonder that the thing is just getting crazier and crazier and crazier. So first of all, he went down there to speak friendly to her. His father-in-law, the damsel's wife, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days. So they did eat and drink, and lodged therein. It came to pass on the fourth day, they rose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart, and the damsel's father said to his son-in-law, comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread, and afterwards go your way. And they sat down and did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the son, be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry. And when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him again, and he lodged there again. Day after day, night after night, they're eating and drinking and making merry. They're getting drunk. You understand? Here's a priest. He's laying out with his horse wife and her daddy, and they're getting drunk. Priest to the living God. Night after night, eating and drinking, being married. And when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine, his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said to him, behold, now the day draws toward evening. I pray you, tarry all night. Behold, the day grows to an end. Lodge here, and thine heart may be merry, and tomorrow get you early on your way, that thou mayest go home. Well, why do you think he wasn't able to get up early in the morning? Yeah, hangover. He was laying in bed and sleep. Drinking wine all night, and he probably wasn't waking up till around noon, and getting his head together and trying, you know, get leave, and all of a sudden it's afternoon. But the man would not tarry that night, but he rose up and departed, came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem, and they were with him two asses saddled, a concubine also was with him. And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent, and the servant said to his master, come, I pray thee, let us turn in unto this city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. His master said to him, we will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. He said to his servant, come, let us draw near one of those places to lodge all night in Gibeah or in Ramah. And they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin. And they turned aside thither to go in to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went, he set him down in a street on the city, for there was no man that took him into his house to lodging. That should have been a sign to him. Something was wrong. Fear of God was not in that place. Under the law, what were they supposed to do? A stranger came by, huh? Yeah, they were to take him in. They would prepare a place for him. He said, but nobody would took him in. That should have been a sign to him. There were no, the fear of God was not in this place. Man, a Syrian did better than that. You remember him, you know, the one that, you know, tricked Jacob, you know, to serve him all those years. He did take them in, fed them, took care of their stuff, you know. These people, they wouldn't even welcome them into their houses. And he was a priest. They didn't even inquire, who are you? You're a stranger here. Well, the Bible said that you would receive strangers, for you were a stranger down in Egypt. Over and over, you find that in the discussions of the law. You look all through the book of Deuteronomy. You can find that over and over again in Leviticus. Because you were a stranger. But they didn't take them in. They didn't inquire who they were, what they were doing there. And behold, there was an old man from his work out of the field at evening, which was also of Mount Ephraim. And he sojourned in Gibeah, but the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he had lifted up his eyes, and he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city, the old man said, "Whither comest thou, and whence camest thou?" He said to him, "We are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim. And from thence am I, and I went to Bethlehem, Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord. And there is no man that receives me to house. Yet there is both straw and provender for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me, and for the handmaid, and for the young man, which is my servants. And there is no want of anything." And the old man said, "Peace be with thee. However, let all thy wants lie upon me. Only lodge not in the street." You reckon he knew something about that place? He said, "Don't stay out here." This place is rotten. You come inside with me. And so he did. He went in. The old man said, "Peace be to thee, however, for all thy wants be upon me. Lodge not out in the street." So he brought him into his house, gave provender unto the asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. And as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial. We've heard that word all through the Bible. We know what that is. They're wicked, evil intentions. These men have wicked and evil intentions. Beset the house round about. I was reading this and I couldn't help but think about a place over in the book of Genesis. I think it was a city called Sodom. They went down there and those angels of the Lord, and we know how Lot had took them in. And it said the men of the city surrounded the house, just like they had happened right here. And look at the next words. House ran about and beat at the door and spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring forth." Now, here's another thing, too. He's a stranger. He's not a Benjamite. He's from Ephraim. You know? He come down and live in the wrong spot. And the old man saying, "Bring forth a man that came into thine house that we may know him." Now, these are the tribe of Benjamin. This is the lineage, you know, of Jacob. These are God's people. And we know what that means when he said that we might know him. What is wrong with these people? I mean, they have lost their mind. And it's not been that long since God brought them up out of Egypt. A couple generations. But you know something? The Bible said from the moment, even before they come into the land, God said he already knew their rebellion. And Joshua told the children of Israel, "You cannot serve the Lord." That's what he said. He said, "You cannot serve the Lord." He said, "Oh yeah, we'll do what he tells us to do." He said, "Look," he said, after God does you good and you rebel, he's going to do you evil. He said, "You cannot serve the Lord." They had any sense, they'd have said, "Okay, you're probably right. So what do we do? But we can't do this by ourselves. We gotta have God." If they had humbled themselves, God might have done something. But they said, no, we'll serve God. We'll do what God tells us to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. We sing these songs over and over and over and over in our worship. Promises and promises and promises. And they made God all these promises. And look at them right now. Acting like a bunch of sodomites. Wanting to lay down with a man. Sodomizing. The man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren. Nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house, and do not this folly. Boy, now he's sounding just like Lot. Behold, here is my daughter. If them filthy rogues had wanted to touch my daughter, I'd have died that day because I'd have been trying to take them all out. So here's my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye them, and do unto them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing. But the men would not listen. Now we want the man. So the man took his concubine, brought her forth unto them, and they knew her. And abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Ain't that just like a bunch of old wicked men doing their thing at night? All night long. Then when the sun comes up, he says, let's go hide in our rocks and dens and our holes. And fell down. And the woman in the dawn of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her Lord was till it was light. And the Lord rose up in the morning, opened the doors of the house, went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, had fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. She had played the harlot. She sowed the wind, but look at her. She reaped the whirlwind. She had laid down with a man, or a couple of men, or two or three men at different times, played the whore. Now all night long she's being abused. Sowed the wind. She reaped the whirlwind. He said to her, up, let us be going. But none answering, then the man took her up upon an ass. And the man rose up and got him into his place. And when he was coming to his house, he took a knife. Laid hold on the concubine, and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces. Fellas, can you imagine taking somebody who had been your wife and cutting her up into 12 pieces? Stripping her out naked and then starting to go to work on her with a big knife just cutting her up. Let's get the picture of what's going on here. kind of sick chapter, isn't it?
It is.
This is the depravity of the flesh and of man. That's what's in all of us. All men, everywhere. Every man that's fallen in nature, that old man, that's where he's at. We looked at what he would do, right? Oh my God. You remember when God told him? He prophesied hundreds of years in the future, and he told him, he said, "You'll eat your own children." Y'all have read that before,
amen.
I'm sure.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? A mom taking her own little child, butchering it up to eat. I can't imagine that. God said, "That's all's in your flesh." And when he was come into his house, he took a knife, laid hold on his concubine, divided her. They gathered her bones into 12 pieces and sent her into all the coast of Israel. Could you imagine getting that? Oh, the postman shows up. "There, you got a package from over here in Bethel." Open it up. Man, there's a head. Some entrails. Maybe you got an arm, you know, a chest. I don't know how you divided it up, but you start pulling out, and here's all these pieces of a dead woman. All over. Sent them to all 12 tribes and to the leaders of their tribe. That's where it went. It was so that all that saw it said there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt until this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds. Well, here they go again. What's your opinion? What you think about that, they said. What do you think we ought to do about this? They're asking one another. And guess whose understanding they're going to lean on? Then he would say, "Hey man, we need to go up and inquire of the Lord. Nothing like this has ever happened. We need to find out what God has to say about this." They don't go and ask God. They start asking one another. You know how it is, you get around on a job and somebody will talk about something that happened, some crazy, heinous thing that you heard over the news. "What do y'all think about that?" You know, they ought to hang him up by his toes, you know. I've said some terrible things about people like that in my time. And so, chapter 20, and all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man, from Dan even to Beersheba, the land of Gilead, unto the Lord in Mizpah. And the chief of all the people, even of the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were going up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, "Tell us, how was this wickedness?" And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, "I came into Gibeah, belonging to Benjamin, I and my concubine, to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about upon me by night, and thought to have slain me and my concubine, and they forced, concubine had they forced that she is dead. And I took my concubine, cut her in pieces, and sent her throughout the country of the inhabitants of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. Yes, they did. But so had his concubine. You notice he didn't tell that part of the story. He didn't tell about how she had played the whore, and how he went down just to bring her back, because he enjoyed her company. He didn't tell them about that. And don't get me wrong. Two wrongs are right and don't make. Under the law, she was supposed to die. If he had done what the law had said, he wouldn't have been in this situation. She's been presented before the people. The execution would have taken place. And he went home. This thing just grows. A little leaven.
Leaven's all leaven.
My friends, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Hey, I remember a fellow one time over there, he was picking up sticks on Saturday. And they took him, he said, he broke the Sabbath and inquired of God, what did God say do to him? What did the law say?
Stone.
Stone him. That you might put away evil. A fellow by the name of Achan stole a little bit of money and a goodliest garment. And evidently his family was privy to it. Evidently they knew about it. Because they killed all of them. We know under the law that they weren't supposed to die for the sins of their fathers. So evidently they were privy to it. So they all died to remove sin out of the camp. Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That seems awful extreme sometimes when you see the things that happens in these situations. Well, after he told his story, behold, you are all children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel. But why didn't they go and ask God what they should do? They weren't interested in what God would do. They wanted hero justice. They want what you get from Hollywood. They raped this woman to death. We're going to set this thing right. Like they had enough sense to do it. They didn't. Rather than go and inquire of God, they all get together and they decide what they're going to do. What do y'all think we're going to do? They said. And so they go up. All the people rose up as one man. Verse 8, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will any of us turn to his house. But now this shall be the thing which we shall do in Gibeah. We shall go up by lot against us. Again. Who told them to do that? I inquired of this. They went up, he said, they went up to the house of God after this, and they said, what? Who shall go up first? Well, God had already told them who should go up first. They should all go up. If they're going to go up to war, they were all supposed to go up. You remember when they went up after that fella stole that wedge of gold and everything. They went up against this little bitty city, and they'd only sent part of the congregation up, and they got destroyed before God.
Yeah,
that's right. They were destroyed before. I mean, they all got destroyed, and they all come back, oh, God. Well, they weren't listening to God again. And here's the thing of it. Joshua was there. Joshua was supposed to go. And all the people with him. But they went up. They said, this is what we'll do. We'll go up by a lot. Let's go ask God who he wants to go up first. They did the same thing when they come into the land. He said, they said, who shall go up first? And they said, Judah should go up first. And again, Judah should go up first. Guess what? Judah went in to take them. Did they defeat all that? They did the best of any group who went in to take the land. Did Judah win? They did battles. But he said he couldn't drive out the men in the valley, for they had iron chariots of iron. Well, wait a minute. Who's fighting this battle? Who's supposed to be fighting this battle? What did God say? He said, drive them out. Now, here they up there in inquiry. He said, Judah should go up, and they went up. Now, they didn't ask God if they should be going up and fighting against their brothers. They didn't ask God if there's another way this could be handled. They didn't pray to God. They didn't inquire of God. They said, God, we're going up. Which one of you wants to go up first? He said, send Judah up first. Y'all see, he went up first last time. And he went up, and they killed him with a great slaughter. The men of Benjamin come out and kill him. They went up there and asked him, and said, will you give up these men and come in? They didn't even try them. They didn't even try to find out what's going on. These people, none of them is listening to God. You hear what the scriptures are teaching us here? They're, none of them are listening to God. They're all doing what they think is right. There was no God. There was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But the Bible tells us to lean not to our own understanding. All by ways acknowledge him. Jesus said, you think in the scriptures you have eternal life, and they are those that speak of me. They're not learning nothing. They're not being obedient not one time in anything. None of them are. Man, he was not obedient about his whorish wife. He wasn't obedient about his priesthood. He was playing a drunkard, feasting and drinking. The people of the town, they weren't listening to God. They were supposed to take the stranger in and treat him with hospitality. Instead, they acted like a bunch of sodomites. The man didn't inquire of God after this heinous thing happened. He just cut his wife in a very dramatic way, sent a message out to all the children of Israel. Look what has fallen upon me and my whorish concubine. Now all of them has come up, boy, and they're all like, huh, we're going to straighten this mess out. Because folly has been wrought in Israel. And I'm going to tell you something. It had just started to fall out in Israel. Because not one person does what's right from thereafter. Not one of them. Except for God. He judged the whole crowd. They went up and they destroyed them down. They destroyed the children of Judah. And the men of Israel, besides Benjamin, was numbered 400,000 men that drew sword. All these were men of war. And the children of Israel rose and went to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of them shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and camped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed them down to the ground of the Israelites that day. 22,000 men died. All over a little leaven. All over a little whorish concubine. 22,000 men. That ain't why. Because they wouldn't listen to God. They wouldn't judge the smallest matter. They did it their own way rather than taking it to God. And the people of the men of Israel encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in their place, and they put themselves in array. The first day the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord. They said, "Oh God, you look at what happened to us. Oh God, why did it happen?" She went and read the law. She didn't listen to what God told them to do. Ain't that the way we are?
Amen.
We do things all our own way. When things start turning into a mess, then we say, "Oh God, help me." Our families are falling apart. We say, "Oh God, help us, our families are falling apart." Children of Israel came near to the children of Benjamin the second day, and Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day, and destroyed down to the ground of Israel 18,000 men that drew the sword. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came into the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening, offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Yeah, they know that they've done something wrong now. They're trying to make peace with God because there's something wrong. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days in Phinehas. You know, it ain't been that long here. He's still priest. Phinehas. You remember him, don't you? He was zealous for the things of God. Then, they inquired for the ark. He said, "I shall again go out to battle against the children. Shall we go out again? Or shall I cease?" And the Lord said, "Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thy hand." God's getting, he's judged Israel, he's judging Benjamin, he judged that harlot. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on that day, put themselves in array. We know the story. They drew them out, they had leers in wait. Did the same thing they did to them in Ai. They drew them out, and when they drew out and started, they pretended like they were losing again and took off to run. When they chased after them, they came into the city, and listen to this. Killed them all. Every man, boy, woman, and child. Is that the way brothers supposed to treat a brother? Killed them all. And then after they beat them down, they didn't stop killing. They went up, they went after city after city after city until they covered all the cities of Benjamin and destroyed them all.